This morning, we are pleased to have with us Don Ferber, who will be giving a program on a talk on respecting Wisconsin's environmental heritage. Dorothy Krause will provide our chalice lighting this morning.
And actually, I've asked Don to come up and read it.
All right, thank you. Thank you. We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history, a time when humanity must choose its future. As the world becomes increasingly interdependent and fragile, the future at once holds great peril and great promise. To move forward, we must recognize that in the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. Towards this end, it is imperative that we, the peoples of Earth, declare our responsibility to one another, to the greater community of life, and to future generations.
Thank you, and that was the preamble for the Earth Charter.
So Christina was going to read this little introduction. It said, 60-second spot addresses the current crisis we live in as an opportunity to assess and rethink about our lifestyle and values, and then move forward to a shared vision of sustainability based on the values and principles of the Earth Charter.
Now is the time for our program this morning, and I would like to introduce Don Ferber. Don is an avid outdoors person with an appreciation for nature. As a fan and advocate of Aldo Leopold and his land ethic, he believes we need to live in an ethical manner as a member of the land community and in concert with nature and other people. He believes that currently much of what we are doing is either unwise or unsustainable. It doesn't bring us happiness, and we need to take a different direction. Climate change and energy policy are key areas in determining our future direction and that of the planet. He works actively on climate and energy to set us on a different course. He also enjoys outreach and communications to engage people and educate them about the environment. Since there is no planet B, he figures we have to figure out how to explore, enjoy, and protect this one. Please welcome Don Ferber.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. I appreciate being invited here to talk about this. Obviously, environmental issues run through the course of much of what you do here and are concerned about, and much of what we heard this morning. And speaking about Wisconsin's environmental heritage and also where we're going, It goes beyond Wisconsin. We can't set the limit here. It's just that, you know, this is where we are, and we have a lot to draw on here that we can think about carrying forward. I want to speak in rather more general terms this morning about sort of where we are now and directions for the future. Obviously, this year there's been a lot of politics going on, which was very strident and so on, and I was reminded of a phrase that came up during the politics this year that was debated back and forth, whether or not we made this. Well, there are certain things we can argue about, but we didn't create this earth that we're on. We didn't make this. But what we can do is create an environment that is more inviting and sustainable for living here. So we can sort of make that aspect of it, even though we didn't create the world that's here. I also thought it was very appropriate doing something with the kids, and now that they're gone from this room, makes me think anyhow about what does it mean for their future? You know, will they have a future that will all be gone, or it won't be sustainable for them? So it is really something to think about, even though they're not in this room right now. Certainly in Wisconsin, we have a lot. For whatever reason, we have some terrific environmental heroes and teachings to draw on. John Muir, who was also the founder of the Sierra Club, taught us a great respect and love for nature around us. He communicated very eloquently about that. Those of you who have read his words and so on, that he set a great tone for us here in Wisconsin. And then Aldo Leopold really took us a step further in terms of thinking really about community, not just the human community, but the land community and being connected to the earth and what that meant. And then we had Gaylord Nelson, who was a great environmental teacher, teaching us something we're still trying to understand or learn, that the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment. I think we tend to treat it the other way around. So in looking at where we're at now, certainly the politics that we've had this year, you know, it's going to affect a lot of where we go and is one avenue for looking about how we're going to impact things. Even if we talk here in Wisconsin, much of what occurs here is set according to what happens at the national level in terms of funding, in terms of environmental regulations, in terms of attention on issues, and so on. And we had a president now who got elected for his second term, and I think some of us in the environmental community were rather disappointed in how he acted in the first term in terms of the environment. He did a few good things, but we were hoping for much more from him. There are some hopes for the second term, but personally, I don't know how much he'll change his stripes. So I think in part, I mean, certainly when there were the presidential debates, climate change didn't even come up. I mean, they talk about it in a very mild sense right now, but it is a critical issue for us. And so, you know, while Obama is in the White House, I think our main hopes on the federal level are almost more, even some of their administration with the Environmental Protection Agency in terms of actions they take and rules that they make and following through on stuff, although even they have to be pushed by the courts on occasion. So, you know, one of the things they say is all politics is local, so it also sort of makes one think that really, if you want to have an impact, sometimes it's easier to work a little bit more towards the local level. Certainly at the state level, we're facing a lot of challenges there. I'll go into that a little bit more in just a minute. But at the more local level, we have a very progressive county board of supervisors, and I think probably a fairly good city council. And I think there were certainly opportunities to at least set examples and look at what we do here. Because you can also get involved then beyond just the political level in groups and so on and carry that down to sort of local community and then even what you do in your own household. Certainly one thing that's setting a lot of tone in politics and elsewhere is the money that's going on. Certainly the disparities of wealth, I think, are of concern too in terms of how we approach things and talk about sort of underlying issues in terms of the environment. Because when you can buy a lot of airtime and promote certain issues, it makes a big difference. One of the overarching things I think we're looking at goes well outside Wisconsin, but certainly having an impact on it here, is global warming and fossil fuel use. The fact that it's going on worldwide, we can't have too much of an effect on, but for instance, we're still using a lot of coal for electricity, generating electricity here in Wisconsin, and that's a terrible fuel in terms of global warming and in terms of pollution otherwise. We use a lot of gasoline in cars still right now, so these are things that we're doing here that make a big difference. We are trying to move to a certain extent towards clean energy here in Wisconsin, but I think we've seen a lot of constraints here. First of all, we don't have a very forward-looking, what's called renewable portfolio standard in terms of the amount of clean energy that's being demanded from our utilities right now. They basically met the current standard or very close to it. And so that's been tough in terms of driving factor. We tried passing a Clean Energy Jobs Act a couple of years ago that didn't go through the legislature. Unfortunately, there were, I think, especially fossil fuel interests that played into that, limiting us there. And so, you know, we're looking at wind and solar as two of the key things. Wind was really hung up for a while when they talked about siting standards. Fortunately, we were able to stop more regressive limitations on that, but it really did slow things down in this state. And there is a federal standard call, not standard, the renewable energy credits in effect for wind, production tax credits for wind that are due to perhaps phase out at the end of this year that will make a big difference. But certainly if we want to have an impact in terms of global warming here in Wisconsin, we need to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, which is still quite high. Here also in the state, for instance, we've had a reduction in our focus on energy funding and how the program is run and everything else. Providing those stimulus capabilities is very important here in Wisconsin as well as elsewhere, because actually we've been subsidizing fossil fuels for a long time. And if nothing else, this is leveling the playing field. Transportation has been a critical issue. The start of the current state administration, even before he got in office, was the issue about the high-speed rail. It has been very regressive in terms of looking at more forward-thinking methods of getting ourselves around. We are used to being a mobile society. I heard from many people here today as they went someplace or they're going someplace. And we use a lot of forms of transportation that put out a lot of global warming emissions. And we're not even being offered with choices that help us more very much in terms of better rail systems, in terms of good bus systems and public transit and everything. Those are things we need to promote, but yet are being dealt with in a very regressive manner in this state. We certainly don't see any hope for high-speed rail at the moment being sent through Wisconsin. We were looking at regional transit authorities. That got stopped in this last legislative session, unfortunately, even though it had been passed in the one before to an extent. And they are looking at taking funding for transit systems out of the transportation fund. Now, transit and transportation, seems to me they should go hand in hand, but somehow they want that money all for roads. And it's really a terrible thing I think we need to work on to make it clear that we need the public transit. It's not only a global warming issue, it's an equity issue. The elderly, youth, people who are lower income in terms of jobs and so on, we need this. Let alone the fact it's probably less expensive, which we're not hearing very much, unfortunately, in terms of saving us money by going to better transit options. We each go around in our own vehicles and have to build the roads to support them. That's expensive. So too much is also going into building new highways over repairing the current infrastructure. I just saw something recently from Thousand Friends saying that a lot of the money that was intended to go back to the local communities to repair the local roads, so you have good roads to travel on that exist already, is instead being funneled into building new roads, which will then need maintenance and everything in the future. So we're not doing a very good job on that front, but it's something we need to be able to, we need to push for at this level. We all need water to drink. We need it to grow our foods and so on. Certainly this last year with the drought and so on, we had put us in touch once again with the vagaries of nature. We've had years in the past where we said, shut off the waterworks. This year, we couldn't get them to turn on some of the time when we needed it. But it's not only having the water, and also when we do get excesses that it can cause severe damage, but also what's in that water. We not only need water to drink and for other purposes, we need for it to be clean and healthy. And that's a huge problem. The fact we've got agriculture in the state is good, but we are getting these confined animal feeding operations, the huge factory farms in this state, which are a huge problem in terms of the runoff and what's going on and what's getting into the groundwater. And in their wisdom, the legislature also decided to reduce the protections for wetlands, which are areas we have learned through our science and otherwise that we need to handle the overflow and recharge our water systems and to clean up our water supplies. That's being taken away from us. They're reducing the constraints on dealing with the municipal water systems in terms of testing and oversight. And in general, with the Department of Natural Resources, there are various rules being looked at right now. And the Department of Natural Resources has declared itself they want to be business friendly. Nothing wrong with being business friendly, but how about being environment and people friendly too? And that's a real concern for what's going on in this state, that we are not following in the footsteps of the leaders we had before in terms of what we're doing and protecting our environment. We have a lot of pollutants that are not only going to the water, but into the air, while a lot of the coal plants, some have been retired, and some are getting better pollution controls. There's still too much in the way of pollutants from that, and the industry, from transportation and so on. We have way too much in the state that we need to deal with more effectively. And so, I mean, for instance, we still have, you know, fishing is a great sport for a lot of people in this state. It's also a source of food for some people, but yet we can't safely eat much of the fish that comes from our waters because of the mercury that comes primarily from the coal power plants, also other sources. A couple other key things that are on the minds of people, certainly this last year we had the big state mining fight over the Pinoki taconite mine up north. Well, with the last election, that's likely to be back on the docket. The current regulations state, in terms of the moratorium on mining, that you can't mine in this state unless you can prove you've done it somewhere else safely. Okay, just prove you've done it somewhere else safely. The problem is, they haven't. And all we're asking is, if you're going to use part of this earth for the betterment of some people, don't destroy it for everybody else. That's all the current regulations say. That you just hold that standard and basically you can go ahead and mine. And they want to lessen that standard to make it more feasible for some big companies to make money and to extract some resources, potentially, here that, you know, why do we have to do it in that manner? Given this is a spiritual community too, up in the Pinoki mine, we have the issue of the Native Americans with the Bad River tribe. This is sacred land to them. That's not being taken into account, not by the state. We do have some hopes here on the federal front in terms of both the EPA and environmental justice issues that might stop this, even if we don't at the state level. But it's pretty sad at the state level that these issues are sitting in front of us. And they're not taking into account the environment and the well-being of the rest of the people who are not directly impacted by that mine. That we're not getting keeping the protections we already have that are quite adequate. Another mining issue, though, we are faced with, potentially even more locally here, is the frac sands mining, which maybe you've never heard of. It's interesting to me that what we're doing here, same as we do with the tar sands, same as we do with mountaintop removal and coal mining, is in order to do something that supposedly helps us, you destroy one area of the earth and take it somewhere else where it's actually destroying the other areas by virtue of the pollution and everything else that comes out. Does this make sense? So it really will be a key issue, and the problem is here there are no proper state regulations and oversight on this. Inherently, it's maybe not quite as hazardous as some other mining issues, but in totality, given all the effects, the noise, the dust, everything else, it is a point of concern. It's affecting, especially in the northwestern part of the state, but we do have frac sands here in Dane County, for instance, too. So it's really another issue here in Wisconsin, where we especially have the right sands to be taken elsewhere to do the fracking, which is a hazardous process in itself, given the sands and all the chemicals they're using, that's going on here that we need to pay attention to. And finally, with natural resource protection, as I mentioned, the DNR considers itself environmentally friendly. There are new rules being looked at, or revisions of them, that we're not quite sure how they're going to play out, because what's been suggested so far is a little indeterminate. But it's good to be watchful of these things, because looking at the past record and the talk about being business friendly, if we can't talk about them in terms of being people and earth friendly, you know, if that's not going to be part of the component, then one has to question the lens through which they're looking at that. There is concern up in the, some of the national forests that Forest Service may be relaxing some of the rules and allowing logging in some of these fine, pristine national areas that we have in the state, too. So that's another concern. Some of you may have heard some recent concerns about hunting and trapping, that the parks we go to recreate, enjoy, connect with nature, like Muir and others suggested that we do. I'm not sure how much connecting with nature you'd be able to do if you have to worry about people coming through and hunting, and whether your own safety will be at risk if you're there in these areas. So there's a problem about even allowing people to connect to the earth and have these few sacred places that they can have, where there is some respite to the ever-growing hubbub we have in everyday society with our urban areas where most of us live. I think the comment period on that just ended, but we'll see what plays out on that. There may still be opportunity to let people know how you feel about that. And finally, we do have a lot of these lands have been set aside. Some cases it's private, but in many cases we've had a good system of public lands at the state level, also more at the local level too, in terms of protecting natural areas. And we are concerned because we have been allotting money every year through the state stewardship fund, especially for those. Also, there's the county conservation fund. And especially at the state level, we're worried about some of those funds if they might be attacked at some point and go away. We're also concerned about a lowering of requirements on recycling and lowering funding for these various programs. One of the things that's not being mentioned so much, when you have less money that goes to provide for public servants, people who were often being attacked in the unions this past year, that's less people to help oversee and take care of the environment. There is an added damage then from that. It's not just you're taking the money off the rolls, but you get less something returned. We don't talk about, you know, the services we need. We start from what money we should spend. It seems to me a little bit backward way of looking at things in terms of how we do it. Shouldn't we maybe be saying, what is it we want and who are we providing it for? Those who are very well off, if they don't have those things here, they can probably afford to go somewhere else and take advantage of them. Those who can't get around so readily, having them here, it can make a big difference. So we also need the people to do the oversight, to do the studies, to look over our lands, because if we want them, we also have to take care of them. So that kind of sets a little bit of the spectrum of things that we're looking about, primarily in Wisconsin, but in some cases beyond. So I think, you know, we need to look at really how we're doing things. One of the great things about what I heard here and so on, you're talking about connections and looking at what some of our great environmental leaders taught us. I really think that's a lot of what we really need to think about. Certainly we can work at the various levels of government. That makes a difference in terms of, you know, the outcomes and policies and funding that we decide to put towards various things. But we all know it has its limitations. Working perhaps a little bit more connected level, you can work through, say, other environmental groups and organizations. You have the faith communities, such as yourselves here, to gather together and talk about what's important, just like you're doing here today. And that's a key link in terms of doing things. But in terms of connections, and why I appreciate Leopold so much, he talks about community. And I really think that's a critical thing. We are out there, you listen to elections, they talk about budget and money and the economy. And it's almost like they talk about the economy feeling pain. What economy has ever gone to a doctor's office and said, I'm having pain, doctor, can you give me something for this? It's not on human terms. It's not on tangible terms. I don't know if trees feel pain, but we do know in terms of their response to what's going on. The trees and other plants, they respond. They will show when they are in effect hurting. people are having those same problems. So I think a lot of what we might consider doing is in terms of building community and starting with that base. We need to start from a different place and start talking about the economy and money and the budget. Let's talk about what we want, what we have, you know, building community here. There are certainly organizations that deal with that, and there are ways of doing those things. You know, we talk about with Wisconsin being an especially good state with agriculture, local food systems. That's one way to go. You can talk about going to local stores, buy local, trading and bartering, those sorts of things. Returning to connections with other people so you know maybe where your food came from, how it was grown, who made that chair you had in your living room, whatever else. And I think as part of that, too, we need to look at decreasing consumption. Some of it we can just do through efficiency measures. It doesn't mean we have to give up things necessarily. But I think we also have to ask, when we are consuming things, what is that doing on the other end to our world, and do we need all those things? So we need to look at that aspect of things. I will suggest also that we need to look at both adapting to things like climate change and increased flooding and droughts and things that we'll have, and to be able to prepare for that in terms of our services in the community that we provide. That we know there are changes coming, so let's try to plan ahead. But I think starting from a different standpoint in terms of how we're evaluating things and what's really important, it really builds on the lessons that our leaders taught us from many years ago to return to that love and appreciation from nature. So anyhow, I'll throw it open for discussion or anybody wants to say. The economy being is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment. I haven't heard many politicians mention it since then. We need to return to something different. I mean, they've managed to frame the debate around business and the economy and certain precepts here that also that, you know, just help the corporations out and that'll echo down and everything will be fine. And I think it's a really, and that corporations are in effect people. That's just a disconnect. And I think so long as we are so disconnected, I'm not sure we're going to get somewhere by just dealing, just with, not that we need to try to deal with some of these individual issues, but I think we need to frame the debate around people in the environment and what sustains us to be able to really get anywhere. I think what you're starting with here is maybe what you do. It has to, there's certainly ways you can write letters. The editor, you can try to get people to talk about things and do it in more public forums. But I think, you know, when people are feeling stressed out, frightened, I think it is really carrying that message out into the community. Okay, what do you really want? What really makes a difference? What do you really need? And then get people to understand those connections to each other and to the earth. Because if you're just going to talk about the economy and money, it doesn't seem to connect very well with people's well-being. I mean, they always talk about it, well, it's something in the future. That's why we got to pay down our debt. What about the people hurting now? I think you have to connect it with people. I mean, I think we've moved too much into our head. We think we have to connect with people's hearts. The production tax credits are actually at the general level. That's something that's basically a subsidy for wind in general, and it's not limited. So that would be helpful across the board. Production tax credit is basically a payback guarantee on wind. Because the cost of wind power is the upfront installation. And so actually it's competitive in terms of building new plants with building a coal power plant or whatever. But because the investment's up front, you know, and the payback is the longer period, there are problems with that. And the fact is, the coal and other fossil fuels have been subsidized. So this just helps level the playing field a bit. I mean, they really ought to take away the subsidies from coal and fossil fuels and charge them for the carbon they're putting up the atmosphere and other pollutants. But no, this would be a general help for the companies to put in wind in the first place. In terms of individuals buying it, like you have green power, that's a little bit different situation at your home. But no, this is, to my knowledge, is not a limited program in terms of how far it goes or what affects it. It just helps wind power in general in terms of it's the current legislation at the federal level ends it at the end of this year, so it is part of the discussions that are going on for 2013 in terms of re-implementing it. But it's been a problem just that even the wind companies can't depend on it. One company, Epic, you may have heard about, is putting in 6 wind turbines here in Dane County because they were able to put it in fast enough and get that. But if you don't know if it's going to be here next year or not, and it affects your bottom line for a business, it's very hard to plan ahead and say, am I going to put in some wind turbines next year or the following year? I don't know, you know, how to calculate if, you know, because unfortunately too much of it is around profit and we're not charging for the damages being done to people and the environment. No, that's great. Absolutely, you have to start with yourself, and I also appreciate what you're doing here. One of the things we talk about in the Sierra Club, and especially in terms of connecting with people, is telling your own story. So you have to start from within, and you know, I wish there were simpler answers to a lot of those things. If I had them, I'd probably be somewhere else right now, you know, in terms of solving all the problems. But I really think we've gotten to ourselves this way over time, and I wish we could change things quickly, but I think we have to really look at the basics underlying what's going on. And you're returning, just even going on the bus, and you know, you're reliant on, walking. You're there, you see your community, but when you take the bus, you're also relying on the community, because that's a community decision to have those buses and so on too. So you really are connecting more with other people, and that's great. Right. There's both focus on energy, which is statewide. I don't know all the details. I think you sort of, it goes through your utility a bit too, in terms of how that works. But basically, it helps people to look at their own house and energy use and what you can do and provide support for that. There's also a Green Madison program that will also provide money for that. And I mean, the first thing for most people is to do a full home energy audit, which tends to run, I think, generally about $400 or whatever, depending on your house. And you can already get some of that money back if you put some improvements into the house. But for a lot of people, it's also not knowing where to go, or what steps do you take, or what should I do? So you have the resources, you have the people with expertise, and to connect you up to other people, including contractors and so on, that can do the work for you. And so, you know, they can look at what you're willing to do, what your situation is in terms of your house, what's most cost effective, or perhaps if you have a certain preference for a certain type of thing. There are like solar collectives now, sometimes in terms of buying solar in mass and so on. Madison has the Madison program. The focus on energy is really statewide, so you can combine that with other things, and there have been some federal credits too, or tax rebates that you can get for some of these programs too. So it's part of an integrated program. It's something that the utilities have been forced to fund at the for their customers in terms of what they do, which is very helpful. However, what I do wish is, because utilities are guaranteed a rate of return on energy, it would really be helpful as a stimulus if we really want to go to energy efficiency, which is generally more cost effective than, in terms of rate of return on dollar, than anything else you can do, if they would reward the utilities more for investing in energy efficiency. They would get at least that high rate of return on energy efficiency instead of selling more power, for which we get a negative benefit in terms of healthcare costs and environmental damage. But so our rate structures are a problem as is right now. Well, it brings a point also that consumption isn't just what you put in your mouth or maybe something you sit on or you have in your home. You consume energy and thanks and gifts of other kinds from people too. So maybe that's the sort of consumption we ought to increase. I just grew up where I got to travel, especially in summers with my family, and also my dad gardened at home. He grew up in New York City, and so when he got to central Illinois, you know, with its rich soils, he was in heaven. He would grow things, put things in the ground, they grow twice the size that they were supposed to on the packages or whatever. But so I developed an appreciation from the outdoors, both from gardening there, but from traveling otherwise. I just would get out in nature, and I really loved it. It was a place of peace and respite, and I just appreciated the beauty that was there. And even though sometimes nature can be noisy, it's a very different sort than you get in an urban area, and I can appreciate so what's offered. I just grew up with love for that, and doing things outdoors for a lot of years. I spent time working the Ice Age Trail. I still do some natural areas restoration work and so on. I like doing it. Well, that's why you have staff to get paid to get beaten up in part. But I mean, it is discouraging at times, but I think it is also returning to those other connections. Like I said, I'm outdoors a moderate amount, do natural areas restoration work and deal with these issues, and just, you know, sometimes just being more present, you know, appreciating what we have here now. You know, you have to get your head out of the fight, I think, on some occasions, and do that. And sort of returning to and finding other connections and trying to stay grounded in some of that and realize what's going on with these people may be crazy, but realize that's that craziness. I need to sort of live in a different place in terms of my being. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don. I told Don before we started that he would find a very receptive audience at prayer, because many of the things that you talked about, all the things you talked about, are near and dear to our hearts. So thank you for that discussion. Our closing words this morning will be read by Dorothy Krause.
Let ours be a time remembered for the awakening of a new reverence for life, the firm resolve to achieve sustainability, the quickening of the struggle for justice and peace, and the joyful celebration of life. And I wanted to invite people to take this sheet home, take a look at it now and again, and keep good things in mind for the earth.
Thank you for coming this morning. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you. And please join us for coffee and conversation. Okay.